series that we've been going through is called Walking in Spirit. And ultimately, for somebody that is following Christ, this life, this world, everything that we're surrounded by right now, I mean, obviously, everything's falling apart. So, you know, and now the world has actually shifted into a different phase even. So you're starting to see more and more increase of wars, earthquakes, famines, floods, disasters. I mean, America's falling apart, you know, and other countries in the world will. This country, you know, it's in enough of a mess right now. So you start to see all this stuff is happening right now. So for people that have tried to put their life and invest their life in this world, scriptures talk about when the fire comes, it tests the quality of everyone's work. It tests, basically when the tough time comes, you find out what your life is really built on. You find out what, it's going to come. It happens. Everybody ends up dealing with this stuff. So when it happens, the result is that we get an idea, we get a perspective, okay, this is where I'm really at. Now, the hard times, the tough times are not a bad thing. Because imagine if you were going down the wrong road for your entire life, and then all of a sudden your life was over, and then you found out, wait a second, I was on this mossy green path that just led to the edge of a cliff, and that's where I fell off from. Wouldn't it be much better if you're on the wrong road to get a flat tire, to have some bad things happen, and then to realize, wait a second, oh shoot, I'm going in the wrong direction. So the tough times are not necessarily a bad thing. So we always have to just say, all right, whatever's going on around you, it's not the externals. It's not the external situation that's happening. You always look for, okay, Lord, where are you in this? Where am I in this? Where would you have me to be? What are you saying right now? So kind of a bigger goal even of what we've been doing with our time together with everybody and people even that are checking in online is each person needs to know God for themselves. You have to, because otherwise if your connection with Him is dependent on another person, then you're always stuck with an intermediary, somebody that's always got to tell you what God had to say. And every person is fallible. The only person that never screwed up was Jesus. And He's the one that can speak to you every single day. So it's like, it's to your benefit so especially with all that's happening in the world right now, I can't imagine. I mean, Enoch and I were talking with Kylie just before you guys all came here, you know, can you imagine not knowing God right now with everything going on in the world? I mean, can you imagine not having that in your life and what that would end up? I mean, my gosh, you know, I mean, scriptures actually talk about that men's hearts will fail them because of the things that they see coming upon the earth in the days to come, the days now that we've moved into. So now that, bring that now into the context of who we are as people that know Christ. We are actually called into an amazing adventure where we walk out life in step with Jesus. So He has a reason for us to be here right now. And it's not to save up a lot of money so that you can have a retirement pension and you can have a nice whatever. I mean, He'll take care of every need that you have. He knows the desires of your heart. Leave those before Him. Don't worry about that. But you really want to check in and find out, okay, Lord, what is your purpose? What is your plan for? Why am I here? You know, I mean, okay, all this stuff is going on today in this country, you know, multiple bomb blasts, you know, all of them within, you know, a kilometer of my place. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, but I'm still here for another day. And so God's got some reason, some purpose. So, because scriptures say, you know, though 1,000 will fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, it won't come near you. Because if you're in step with God, He's always got you. And when the time comes for you to check out of this life, no problem. He's well aware and you leave at exactly the right time. But while you're here, good to know what He's up to. So, okay. So, we'll start with the foundational scripture we started with in this whole thing was John 3, verse 3, in open form so you can drill away in the middle of this if you have questions. All right, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, so, you know, we've heard jargon many, many times with the religious backgrounds that we all had, where, you know, people say, okay, you need to be born again, you need to have a... But Jesus said, all right, you know, he explained a little bit more about what this is like. Anybody that is born of Spirit... Excuse me. There's a real delivery process that takes place where you get delivered out of this world. Paul talked about in Acts 26 where he said when God spoke to him, he talked about people being delivered from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. I won't paraphrase for you guys since... You guys don't have... See, the reason, also part of why you have to have a Bible, keep people honest. Verse 16 says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared, Jesus speaking, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, again, we before we talked about how there's two kingdoms. Ultimately, there's not Sri Lanka, Pakistan, America, Holland, whatever. Yeah. There's just really... only two spiritual kingdoms in existence here. So even right now, with everything that's happening here, it's all kingdom of darkness stuff that's taking place where people are dying. And because what does the devil do? Comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So what's happening today is a manifestation of the works of that kingdom. So so what happens is when we're delivered by the power of the Spirit of God out of this world, that's a very real process where God does that. So there's a point where he opens our eyes and he shows us, look, there is another way. Now when that happens, it's the free will that he puts in all of us. That's one thing everybody gets, is you have the ability to choose. You can choose if you want, you can choose which way you want to go, but you also live with the consequences of your choices. I had a pastor friend in the States that one time told me, he said, Govinda, he said, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. And he says, and so ultimately it's like, yeah, you got free will. You can do whatever you want, but the ramifications of your choices, you cannot choose. So you can make the choice, but the ramifications come back in your life. So that's why God is always before, he's like, look, choose life. You know, and see what Jesus does too is people, he offers true life. See, sometimes I think it's the hard thing for people to understand is because also they've been sold a false bill of goods, is they think that
it's what?
False bill of goods. They've been shown that, because most times when people have been associated with anything about God, what do you think of? Or religion. You think of some place with stodgy people with tight collars and musty church bells, and just, I mean, it's like this complete distortion of what Jesus was. Jesus, when he came into this world, he shook everything up. In fact, he was shaking up things so much that they said, "We got to kill this guy because he's messing up our our musty closets and our whole setup that we've got going. They said, we got a good thing going here, and this guy's screwing it up. Let's kill him for God. You know, I mean, so, and it's the same thing today. People still, how many people are being killed in the name of God? Because they don't know him. Jesus said there'll be a time when they will kill you and put you out of the synagogues because, and thinking they're doing God a service because they don't know me. So, wow, they're playing loud over there. They always start right when we start too. Okay, so, now Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he is real life. You know, because what we're all looking for in our time here ultimately is a fulfilled life. You know, people look for it in the world and all kinds of things. So in money, career, relationships, power, pleasure, whatever it is, but they're looking for some sort of fulfillment. But the truth is that the only fulfillment comes from... Oh, no, fine. You're fine. The only fulfillment truly... the only true fulfillment comes... Now you're going up. Okay. The only true fulfillment comes in Christ. Because Jesus said, all right, I'm it. So, but he's not just, it's not some prayer that you pray. It's actually a way. It's a path. And the path that he takes people on, it's both a path through and out of this world, but also it's a path within. So in John, in Luke 17...
Good, this
yeah,
is a question.
Go ahead.
There are so many studies done on time, date, times, all that stuff. Then probably you would have heard about the time of tribulation and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I did this long time ago, and just an idea, just to get an idea. Do you think that any of that has started, or do you think that has any relevance? Or?
The end time scenarios. For sure. Jesus talked about a few things. One was that wickedness would continue to increase, and he talked about it being like birth pains. Now, what happens with birth pains? I won't ever know personally, but contractions get increase and they get closer and closer together. So, with the time that we're in right now, what you do see is greater and greater magnitude of things happening, and you see them closer and closer together. So it's now, when people try to do this whole timeline scenario, the problem is what did Jesus say too? Look, no man knows the day or the hour, you know, except for the Father, not even the angels in heaven. So it's like, so people try to, this over here is the Antichrist, and this is the beast system, and this is, and there's definitely a world that's working towards that. There's definitely a spirit, you know, behind all of this stuff for sure. But it's not like if you sit down and you get it all figured out, you know, and then it's like that at the end of it, it's like we'll get a gold star. You know, like, oh, you got to figure it out. The main thing that I've come to this conclusion personally, where it's like, okay, I will keep an awareness about things, but more than anything, I seek to stay in step with the Spirit of God, because it's like that too can become a distraction. That too can become a something that you can get your head so wrapped up in that you miss the game being played. So it's like you're still sitting on the sidelines. You know, like I went and saw my little brother play this basketball tournament. You know, recently, I'm so proud of him. He scored the game-winning point and got him into the semifinals. First time in 9 years. But very cool. But so you're watching this whole thing, you're trying to figure out everything that's happening, but in the end, I'm still sitting on the sidelines. I'm not in the game. So what even what we're talking about here is, yes, we pursue knowledge and we allow the Spirit of God to teach us, but more than anything, let's focus on what it means to be in the game. What it means for us, each of us, to walk out God's plan and purpose and the reason that you've been put here. So as far as, to answer your question though, yeah, I think we've started on a lot of stuff. And as far as like dates and times, yeah, I've heard people
dates
say...
Dates and times, I know, but I remember a long time ago when we actually did this thing.
Yeah.
Spoke about so many things, and now we can actually see things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's my friends in New Mexico that broadcast. There's certain things that they were talking about like 3, 4, 5 years ago that now are all happening. I mean, like, like oil going up to $100 a barrel, the price of gold is what it is right now. Things are just, all the stuff that's going to happen in the States. Yeah, and see, even right now what you see in the world, you see this formulation of, I mean, America's currency is part of the whole reason they're doing this to it, is to swap it out for what will be the Amero, or this North American Euro type currency. And it's a consolidation basically of world currencies, so to bring those all together as well. I mean, there's all of this stuff is there. I mean, if it's not, it's you see it coming together. So with all of this taking place, it's like, okay, all the more reason why each of us need to say, okay, Lord, without some help here, I'm screwed. You know, without being in connection with you, I'm out of moves. So, but what he does is he says, all right, you know, yes, I will lead and guide you. John 10 talks about how he says, look, my sheep hear my voice and they won't follow another. So what he does is he starts saying, okay, look, left, right, yes, no, do this, don't do that. There's a lot of things for me, you know, even over the last couple of years that have been closed off, you know, and God speaking to me about that is just like, look, I close those off on purpose because I don't want you going through those doors, because if you go through those doors, you get stuck in something that I don't want you to be in. And it's not that he's saying no about some stuff, it's just that right now he has for me to be in something else. So because I've chosen the path that he has for me, he will also help orchestrate the circumstances so that I can walk that out. So that's why that daily prayer, even that we would pray, where he's like, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, you're asking for his will, you're seeking that, right? Okay, so kind of just a little recap though of some of the things that we went through before. The other three parts are already posted online, but this is not for everyone. Most people don't choose this. The majority of the world does not choose to follow Christ. The majority of the world doesn't, they choose the world. And they choose the world hoping for security in the world. So this is more for people that God is waking up, that he's drawing to himself, and that of choosing that too. You know, it's for people that, how we said it last time, was that they want to know God's will so they can, not so they can consider it, but so that they can actually do it. You know, most people want to know the will of God so they can consider it. So it's like, oh yeah, oh that's nice, God. Well, not today. You know, and then they want to move on. But truly, 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 His will is the best plan for your life. It is. Because He knows each of us individually, completely. He knows how you were made. He knows what you're best at. He knows what would fulfill you. He knows what would be a life, a true life, for you in walking that out with him. So the other option is, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death, which is basically our way, which is where I say, okay, so I think maybe a good thing for me to do is to start a company, and maybe I will do this, and I come up with my own ideas apart from him, and then I go down this track, and what ends up happening? And sometimes what happens is you get incredible worldly success in that but you're off track. And sometimes what happens is even the world will give you that for the sake of keeping you down this other track. So the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this world choke out the true life and make it unfruitful in you. So that's why we always put it before Him. Jesus promised us that He would take care of your needs if you seek first the kingdom. So in this track where you're like, okay, this is the way that we're going, ultimately you say, Lord, alright, I'm seeking Your will, I'm seeking Your plan, and You promised if I seek first the kingdom, You'll take care of the needs. So here's where I'm at. And He just puts stuff before Him. And it's amazing how He takes care of that stuff. I mean, it is. I mean, it's just miraculous. He will find a way to take care of whatever need that is. And that's also part of trusting Him. So you say, okay, Lord, You promised that, cool. I will trust, and You right now, more than ever, it's like, I'm almost even wondering if there's enough time for people to learn to trust Him like that anymore. Because it's something that, like, if you haven't learned to do it now, when things get really bad, you know, that's not, yeah. I mean, the time to get ready to swim the soft games is not the day of the race. I mean, you have to go through some stuff before you get there. So, I mean, there's a preparation period that we get for what's happening. And so you have to use it while you have it. So, but also the path that God takes us on, one thing that we talk about too, is it's also a path within. So in Luke 17 verse 20, it says, when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So it's the kingdom of God is within. And what happens is God takes us through everything that we go through in walking with Him, deeper and deeper to the core of who we really are in Him, where ultimately as things get stripped away from us, what remains is really Him. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what is left. So it's a path where things get chipped away from us along that way, and it's not easy. But you just keep holding on to Him. And every day you say, God, Your way, not mine. And He'll take you through that. So, okay. another thing though is like, and we already said too, is that it's individual. So I can't walk this out for Andrew. You know, I can't walk this out for Peachy. I can't do it for Audrey. Can't do it for you, Inoka. I can't do it for anybody. I can't walk this walk out for somebody else. The only thing I can do is in honesty before God, say, Lord, all right, this is me. You know, I'm here, and everything, every part of me that I know, I give completely to as much of You that I know. And that God will always meet you at that point. So that's another friend of mine in the States who's a pastor there. He just said, you know, if you give as much of yourself as you know to as much of God as you know, God will always meet you at that point. So, and He will continue to grow and develop the relationship with you as you walk this out. But you just give to Him what you know of yourself right now. But it's individual. So each one of us makes that decision. But now, as we walk this thing out, what happens is that also there'll be others that are walking it out as well. And so God will give you some people to go on this journey with. So I was thinking, like, today I got an email from my buddy, really, really close friend of mine in Canada. And just, I mean, it's just like, and he's in the same spot in spirit as I am right now, with just even some of the things we're going through. And it's really cool because it's just like, he's on the same journey in spirit, even though he's thousands of miles away. And you can have that. So you get, it's beyond the physical. okay. So last week, also some of the things too we talked about was some tools. you know, some things to, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, my sheep, and they won't follow another. So, in fact, let me not, since you guys don't have your hint, hint, nudge, nudge. No, I'm not.
See,
I
have to know.
I won't do the, what was it? I won't do the Pentecostal whip me, beat me, and make me write bad checks. Okay, no. Yeah, okay. Jesus said that, okay, chapter 10, verse 4 in John, he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So, though in John 3 it said that, you know, that they're like the wind, but they're not just blowing anywhere. They're, each of them are following the voice of Christ as he speaks to them. But in order to follow his voice, you got to learn and cultivate the ear to hear his voice and the heart to obey when he speaks. So that's a deliberate, again, deliberate decision of the free will that each person makes, where you say, okay, Lord, I want this. This is important to me. So, and he wants to increase that in you. So some of the things that we talked about last week were, let's go back to this one. We talked a little bit about prayer. We talked some about fasting. We talked about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the operation of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. So different things that will work to help confirm when God is speaking to you, quickening you, showing you something, that you can take an assurance that, okay, this is in fact God speaking. So like, for example, when you... when you're seeking God's will, it's okay. But when you're seeking when you're seeking God's will, and you say the situation's going on in your life, and you start praying about it, you're like, Lord, what do I do about this? And then you open up the Word of God, and you know how sometimes something will just jump at you from off the page. You're just like, whoa, I've never seen this before. I've read this chapter 10 times before, and every time I've just gone through it, and now this time it's like these words, just because his word's alive. So that, so it's something that God puts there for you to help you to have an assurance that yes, he's speaking to you about this, and he's showing you something, and you can walk that out with what he's showing you. The empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that God gives. All you got to do is ask him for it. And just keep seeking him until he does that in your life. So these are just some of the stuff that is there. And we won't go all back into that from last time. But you can go back and listen to it if you want. Because it's all posted. So, but, excuse me. But ultimately, what we're doing is we're seeking that connection. Because the world that we're living in right now, more than ever now, it's like you may be the only Christ that people ever see. You know, you are God's ambassadors in this world. And so it's for the sake also of others that you walk with him. Because he will use your life to minister to them. He'll use your life to meet them where they're at. So, because right now it's like they need that. I mean, this world desperately needs Christ. They have no answers. Now, what's interesting though too is that with each of us, as you walk this thing out, it look very different. Because every one of us is an individual. Now, as you do what God puts in your heart to do, it'll work together to form the body of Christ in the world. In each part doing what it is that it was designed and made to do. But every part will be very different. And some of it might even be quite bizarre. I'll give you an example in the scripture. I'll give you two. Jeremiah. Here, sometimes it gets lost in the fancy language. Jeremiah chapter 13. All right, here's God giving some instructions. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that is thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, rise, go to the Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. I'll say. Yeah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, and the evil people which refuse to hear my word, which walk in the imaginations of their heart, and walk after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Okay, so here's God telling somebody. Yeah, I mean, here's the instruction. Go bury your underwear. Now, first of all, don't wash your underwear for a while. Then go bury it by the river. And then go leave it for some time. Now go dig it up. And now put it on, and actually puts it on a stick and walks around the city saying, you know, this is what your righteousness is like. So it's like, now, okay, was this an instruction for everybody? No, I mean, so nobody's going, and I don't know, maybe you are, but No, I don't know. But the point being, now this would seem absolutely bizarre to somebody that can't see what, I mean, God's making a point. He's making a very real, deliberate point about what's going on in the nation at the time. And he has a guy bury his underwear, put it on a, you know, then dig it up and say, okay, this is what, you know, this is where you're at right now. Oh, I'll give you another one. Here, hold on. You like this one? No, it gets interesting. Worse, I don't know about that. Isaiah chapter 20. Now, Jesus quoted from Isaiah a ton. And Isaiah chapter 20 says, in the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him, and fought against Ashdod, and took it, that at the same time spoke the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy feet, from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitants of this isle shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation, whether we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? Okay, so another prophetic word, another prophet, and what was he told to do? For how long?
3 years.
No,
3 years.
3 years. Three. So 3 years, I want you to take off your clothes and walk around naked. This is God giving somebody some instructions of something to do. Not amiss, but for a sign.
In 3 years, not much long.
Well, 3 years here, that for a sign and a wonder. So then, and yeah, just it's just a point to say. And he says in the same way, he says, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old. So it's like, so God is using somebody that hears his voice. Now, you know, these guys, you tell me anywhere on Sunday that they could go to give a message? No, seriously. I mean, if you had a Sunday message And here comes Isaiah, who Jesus quoted a ton. The very first scripture when he's beginning his ministry was he quoted Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news. It's like, okay, that was Isaiah. This same Isaiah, by the way, who's...
Tell me.
Yeah.
What am the confusion is,
yeah,
that what is
yeah. Yeah, what is the question?
No, the question is that what is he trying to prove to this?
By getting them to do the things that they're doing, or?
Exactly.
Well, I think
there's probably
more in this. I mean, these are just some that I pulled, you know.
No, it's extreme.
For extreme to show you, but because there's also cultural elements. There's also some historical significance woven in there. I mean, even like, you know, why certain parts of their body would be shown would be disgraceful. So it's not even just, you know, that they're being taken captive, but it's also like an utter humiliation that would take place to them, that would be some, I mean, nowadays, you know, everybody's running around with nothing on anyway, so it's like, yeah. But
absolutely.
What? No, not
there, you guys be. I don't see that happening here.
Amsterdam
for about. Yeah. Okay. He's just
a big
dancer.
That's another place. Yeah, I did. I went to. We went by the red light district by boat. We didn't stop. Okay. So, anyways, the point being with all of this is that God speaks, and those that are walking in step with Him listen and obey, and there's a reason for it. You know. So now these are just kind of extreme points, just to show. Look, these guys. You know, it's like, all right, God, whatever you say to me, cool. And this is some crazy sounding stuff to me, but I'm good. You know, I'm good, and, you know, whatever you say, that goes. And so, now with each of these guys, now how much more so in the day that you live in today? It's like, now if you read the book of Acts, Acts is under the new covenant. Now with people basically walking out what they had now had in Christ offered to them. And with that, it's like you see them, going all over the place, doing all kinds of amazing things. So the Spirit of God speaks to His people, and those that are in connection with Him, they respond. So like Acts chapter 8, where Philip, you know, it's like, hey, Spirit says, go over here, he goes there. Angel says, go over here, he goes there. Then after he witnesses to this guy, to the Ethiopian eunuch, then that guy gets baptized, and then he just picks him up and drops him off somewhere else. You know, it's like Star Trek. He just teleports him over here. So it's like, this is not fictional. This is like what's going on. But because they're also walking in step with God. See, you have to... I'm even learning more and more just to cultivate this where, okay, when God speaks, I respond. Because like recently God put something on my heart to do, and I was kind of delaying with it, and all of a sudden it's like, then He just stopped talking to me about stuff. Because it's like, why is He going to give me something else when I haven't done the last thing? Why is He going to give me any other instruction when I haven't done the last thing that I was supposed to? So it's like I'm... So what I... And then I was like, oh, okay, I got it. Cool. No problem. Get that thing done. And as soon as that thing was in the process of finishing that, it's like, okay. Now I know I'm back in step. So it's this cultivating that where it's like, okay, God... And he'll put it on your heart. He'll put it on your spirit. It's like something will be... You'll know it. You know, it's like something is just... You have this burden that's within you to just like... Toward something. You know, it's like somebody's just on your mind, on your heart. You just need to pray for them. Or you need to give them a call. Or, it's something He wants you to do. You know, just... Somebody wants you to give some cash to. Somebody wants you just to drop them a card. You don't know. You don't know the ramifications of what you do. He does. You know, I mean, I there's some friends of mine from college, you know, that I met up with when I was back in the States, and you know, a couple times ago, and they just said, you know, it's like, and they were just telling me about like some things that I had done. I don't even remember doing them. I really, really don't. But it's like, but for them, they were just like, you know, that meant something to me at the time. I don't know. You know, so God knows what's going on, and it can be something very simple, but the Spirit of God comes through you to minister to people in that. See, that's also, it's not even, it can be as subtle as a touch, a smile, and but the Spirit of God is on that. So it's not the physical, it's what happens in the world of spirit. So, okay, let's see here. I'm enjoying their music next door. Okay, so let's. What's the song they're singing over there? Yeah, they always know when we show up. Okay. Now, one, you remember too, we were talking about like Moses, where Moses is in the desert, and. And God's like, look, you know, I'm going to send you guys on, but I'm not going with you. And Moses' thing was, and they said, look, God said, I'm going to fulfill my word. You know, we're going to clear out the land ahead of you. I'm going to send my angel. He's going to take care of everything for you. But I'm not going with you because I'm ticked at you guys, and I'll probably end up killing all of you along the way. And Moses said, you know, God is like, well, if you're not going, I'm not going. Because he's like, I gotta be where you are. He's like, and in the end, he's like, what would distinguish us from everybody else around us except for your presence? That's really, that God's presence in our lives, that is the distinguishing factor. It's God in you that is the difference between you and this world. So, and that's actually what people are even drawn to. They see Christ in you, and it's like, that's what pulls people, because they know there's something there. But it's like, rather than let people get stuck on you, it's just like, look, what I've got is freely available to anyone that would call out to God. He gives it, there's an unlimited supply. You don't need to market it, you know. So, okay. So it's not that, it's basically like, look, God, you stop, we stop. You go, we go. Left, right. So here, if you're running, we're running. So Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my sons, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Okay. So, alright. Again, we talked about being in the game. You know, this whole great cloud of witnesses. Ultimately, the people that have passed on from this life, they're, all the great things that they've done, everything, but they're not here anymore. You are now the ones that are in the basketball game, you know. So like when I went and saw my little brother play, you know, I was part of the cloud of witnesses that are there for that game. Yes, I'm cheering. Yes, I'm, you know, screaming things that I probably shouldn't at the other team, and all of this stuff is going on. But still, I am, I'm part of the cloud of witnesses. I'm not in the game. And though I'm chomping at the bit, I would love to get in there and play. But it's like, but I'm not. You know, they're the ones playing. But now in life, you are the ones that are on the field right now. And David and Jeremiah and Isaiah, you know, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. You know, the Spirit is in the earth strengthening us to do this stuff, but it's like, but it's like we're the ones right now that are here, that are in the game. And God, the God of this universe, so all of these guys are cheering us on from glory. So it's like, so David is there like, come on, Enoka, go. You got it. You know, I mean, it's like they're watching the whole thing, but it's like, but they fulfilled their role. They fulfilled the purpose that they were put in the earth for. Now it's your turn. And how you do that is by getting in step with what God is up to and saying, all right, Lord, you know, I'm good. You know, whatever it is, you show me. And you allow for Him to call every shot. You allow for Him to direct and lead the path that you would be on. And you choose that track. So, let me see. Go back to this. Let us lay aside every weight. So, great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you run with patience? It's like, yeah. Well, I mean, it's that. Yeah. All right, let's go through this a little bit. You lay aside every weight. Okay, now that you are moving with God. Again, we went through some tools last time, but there's also just some practical advice. Look, if you're going to move with God, get rid of the dead weight. You know, get rid of the things that are just, they're not helping you. They're just keeping you stuck, you know, in this place where you can't even move. He's moving, he's going, and you're stuck in one spot. You know, or you're stuck dragging your feet. So, like, I was thinking about some. What are some? You know, what are some weights that people have? Well, unforgiveness is a huge one. You know, in Matthew 18. It talks about, you know, how... here, actually. That... Let me just flip there really quick. Just wrote that for my own reference. But... Yeah, because here, I'll show you. Matthew 18. I'll read this quick. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon with one, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his own fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Thou shouldn't not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So this is, God said, look, this is what I'm going to do. And then you think about it too. It's like, okay, yeah, in my life there's been people who have done some really horrible stuff to me. But nothing as horrible as what I have what happened, one, what happened to Jesus on my behalf to take the price for every stupid thing I've ever done, and what I've done unto God. So it's like he's forgiven a debt that I could never pay so that I could be brought in connection with the Father. He shed his own blood to pay that price. He gave up his life for me. And so now I'm going to hold what against who and be justified in that? But here's the catch, though, is that in and of ourselves, and this is something I learned when I was learning to forgive, because God had to teach me how to forgive. It doesn't come naturally, by the way. Forgiveness is not like a natural process that people just, oh yeah, sure, no problem. No, you learn that. But it's a work of the Spirit of God. And what happens is where when somebody, the prayer that God taught me to pray was like, Lord, in and of myself, even in and of my flesh, I can't forgive, though I want to. But what I do is I choose by my free will to line up my life with your word. And I ask that you would enable me, by the power of your Spirit, to forgive this person or these people for what they did to me. And he, now that you do that, you've opened yourself up to the working of the Spirit of God to heal you, to heal your heart, rather than saying, no, I'm going to hold on to this, and then you keep that, and what happens in the end? Well, scripturally, people are turned over to tormenting spirits. And what happens is, it's like you just open up this door where all this negative stuff now comes into your life, and it's just like, and who suffers? You know, we do. We're the ones that suffer in the end. And so it's like, so even there, it's like God calls us onto a path of life. So he's like, look, yeah, what happened sucks. Cool. Understood. All of us understand that. Jesus going on the cross, here it is, he's dying for these guys so they could be forgiven. And here they're giving him wine mixed with gall, mocking him, spitting on him. And he's, even at that point, he's just like, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They do not know what they're doing. So it's like, and the same thing, people don't even, but he chose to forgive. Forgiveness is key in walking out this life with Christ. And unforgiveness is a huge weight. All it does is just binds. So it's like, all you do is you go before the Father in a place where you're just with him, and you're just like, Lord, search my heart. You know, if there's something there, whoever it is, you just bring it before him, like, Lord, this person, whatever they've done, I choose to forgive. Help me to do this, but I choose it because you said it in your word to do it. So it's like, help me to walk this life out, this path out with you. You know, bitterness is another one. It's just a weight. Bitterness. Well, and that's kind of just something even too, that's like in verse 15 in Hebrews 12, it says, look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So it's like something that has to grow in your life. And it's again something that's like, we choose to allow it to be there. You notice how when people get older, they either get sweeter or more and more bitter. Yeah, no, you're just like, or the other extreme. It's like either. Yeah, it's like either they get like, you know, that kind of the path that they've chosen with life, it'll either take them one or two directions, and either just be, just, you're smiling like crazy. Somebody's coming to mind. Okay, so choose. You know what I would love? I would love as I get older just to be, a sweet old man, if I make it that far. Oh, you know, it's just like, I don't know if I'll make it that long. What?
Might be bitter.
No, I choose not to. You know, that's the thing too. It's like I make a deliberate decision. I choose to forgive. Whatever it is, whatever comes up, Lord God, by your power, I choose to forgive. Because, hey, I would much rather.
And I think once you start doing it, it's not that difficult.
Because he cultivates the spirit of forgiveness in you. So, because Jesus, all the way, I'm amazed when I read the account of the cross of what he was. Here it is. I mean, Jesus at any point could have just said, "To hell with all of you," literally. I mean, I literally at any point of that, just say, just Yeah, screw this. I am out of here. You guys deal with it yourself. I mean, just like...
Imagine if you did that.
No, and he said, you know, at this moment, I can ask my father and he'll send 12 legions of angels. But he said, but how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? They need to be fulfilled. So he did it for us. Because otherwise, we didn't have a prayer. We did not have a chance. So it's like, because of that. Okay, because here, let's keep going with this. Verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what was the joy set before Jesus? No, what was the joy set before him that he would go through all of that? He already had that. Say it again. The joy set before him was that to be married to us for all eternity. Because otherwise there was no way for that. So because of his love for us and his desire for us to be able to have that connection with him for all eternity, he went through that. I mean, that's love. And it's just like, that's cool. Jesus is cool with me, man. Not that I'm anything at all, but it's beautiful. I mean, that is true love. And that is, so the joy set before him was, we would have that opportunity now, that our free will could be used in that way is made for us to come out of this. Because otherwise, what was the alternative? We would have been stuck in darkness, period, all of us. So now it's like, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's like, you have life now offered to you. And it's not something that we're waiting to happen when you die. No, it's like today is the day of salvation. You can have that connection right now and walk that out right now. So it's like everything from the past, it's done. There is no past with him. It's like he is right now. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. So it's like, you know, just put it back, bring it back into the context of what he went through, and we'll be all right. Wow, time goes so fast. Okay, I'll close this out with a couple more things. Just other weights too. It's just like two. All right. Not a weight, but an impossibility. You can't be going in two different directions and make any progress. You know, you choose. So it's like there is the way of the world and there's the way of Christ. There's a guy I know of who said, it's like basically in the room, it's just you, Jesus, and Antichrist. And it's like, you know, whenever you make a decision, you're choosing one way, you know, or the other. So it's like every decision you're making is kind of going in that track. So it's like you make a deliberate decision. It's like, Lord, I want your track. And just show me, help me. Every decision, just help me to go that way. And another one too is like, is another weight can be relationships. Friendships, relationships. And some people get into all kinds of stuff, but it's like Amos 3:3, remember we talked about it last time, was how can two walk together, at least they be agreed. So it's like, even in my own life, it's like I have different kind of rings of people in my life. There's people that are really, really close, people that are close, people that are kind of close, and then a lot of people that are just kind of acquaintances that I know. But it's like the people that are really core in my life, spiritually, they're on the same track because we're going in the same direction. So we can walk together in this thing because we're in a spiritual agreement about where we're going. So it's like, but you can't walk with somebody if you're not, if it becomes a weight ultimately. If they're, and see, here's the thing too, if you are one of God's kids, and all of you are, you're marked by him. So what will happen is, be careful of the people that come into your life, because many times they're just trying to, like parasites, live off of the life that's in you. But you know, it's not, that's, it's just, all it's doing is just, it's just dragging you down. You know, you have to choose. You make a choice and say, God, all right. I one time I just had to pray about like the people that were in my life. I was like, Lord, I need some people in my life that are on this track.
Maybe you're supposed to have people who are not on the same track.
No, and you do. You definitely do. You're definitely there for, because God also puts us in the world, but we're not of the world. But we're here, and He uses us in the lives of other people. But even Jesus, there's the multitudes that followed Him. There were 72, then there was the 12. And even within the 12, He had three. And even within the three, John was the disciple that you know, that had even that much more, where he was somebody that when he was at the feast and Jesus was talking about his betrayal, Peter had to nudge John and say, hey, who's he talking about? Because John was somebody that could ask that question to Jesus, and he knew for sure he'd get an answer. Even Peter was like one of the three, you know, they're just kind of close to him. He's like, hey, who's he talking about? So you find out, John, because you know, because you know, he might get mad at me for something else I did. Peter was always doing crazy stuff. He's cutting people's ears off, and just, yeah. But Peter's cool. I like Peter too. So ultimately, though, it's like with life, what we have to do is allow the Spirit of God to orchestrate your life. So ultimately, it comes down to, all right, how do you do this? Absolute surrender to God every day, and just say, Lord, your way, not mine, every day. And that's the prayer, and just like, Lord, help me do that. And if you're honest with Him and you're honest before Him, He will lead and guide you in that path.
That's how that works.
Yay, it does work. So Jesus sets you free so that you can walk with Him, and so all you got to do, and all anybody has to do, is just ask Him to open the prison door, and then when He does, you just walk it out with Him. So, okay, we are out of time, and I think we're done with this series, so we'll stop there.